Hello and welcome back to the Obscure Curio. I am your host, Patrick T. Whoopsie Daisy, and I am joined here by my lovely producer, Roscoe, on the boats and canoes. Roscoe, pleasure to see you. Today is Tuesday, March 19th, 2024, and I'm bringing you a little episode we recorded just a couple of days ago with the Wampus Cat. It's hot off the presses, it's fresh, it's exciting, it's novel. Okay, I hope you're going to be as pleased with it as I was to record it. We once again got back from a little concert, decided to record an episode. They're getting more frequent, stuff is on the way. Not going to hold you back any further. Here's the Wampus Cat. I don't even care if it's a fruit or a vegetable. It's not going anywhere near my hands.
Here's some jerky. Make a feast and pass it.
By the way, is there anyone on board who knows how to fly a plane?
Well, it's not a goddamn dog. It's a fish that produces milk. Better than any recording they have out there.
Yeah. I was impressed with Mike, but I knew Mike was going to be intense. But hearing Greg on that guitar at 70 years old was, that's not going to be around forever. I told Anna that at the show. I said, what saddens me is there's going to be a day where a lot of these bands are no longer either playing or alive that, you know.
It's getting close. Greg Ginn is 69 years old.
Yeah.
That's old. Plenty of people that, I mean, from that era are fucking gone. Long gone.
Yeah, yeah.
We've gotten lucky to see them with Greg and with Mike V fucking fronting.
Mm-hmm.
We got lucky to see The Cure, dude.
Yeah, we got They're lucky to see a lot of bands, yeah. Danzig, man, he's in his 60s now, too.
Yeah. Yeah, he's old.
What's cool about this was...
We're old. That's why we like these old fucks.
Dude. Yeah, I know, bro. The one thing that the main reason I wanted to go anyways was, besides Mike V playing with him, was, to me, I know some people shit on that lineup. Like I said, that's like the third bass player they've had on this tour, but...
They were awesome.
They were awesome. The show was great. They sounded awesome. Everything was cool, but to me, Black Flag, number one, it's like the first offensive band I got into, like, that really was, like, crazy. Is a political band, like it was hardcore, like it was just skateboarding, like everything about Black Flag was just fucking cool.
I guess,
cool.
Yeah, early on hearing shit like, but, about drinking beers and having sex and shit.
Yeah, I'm like 12, 13 listening to Black Flag, like Henry Rollins just screaming into a mic about having a six pack, dude. And fucking,
but I did also get into them at the same era I was also listening to like Misfits.
Yeah,
well, you were more into them than I was back in the day. But, you know.
Yeah, that's what, I don't know how I got into Black Flag. The only thing I really remembered was Rise Above. And then, as I got a little older, I heard Black Coffee. And that was like the first, that's still my favorite Black Flag song. But after that, I was like, I was hooked.
I can tell you right now how I got into them, dude. I was friends on AOL, and I've probably brought this chick up a couple times, but on AOL Instant Messenger, and this must have been 2002 through like 6,
mm-hmm.
I was friends with this chick named Nikki that was from Las Vegas, and she was like maybe 2-3 years older than me. She was very influential on like the type of like music. I mean, I was already into, but there was like some very specific bands.
Yeah.
Like, I remember Black Flag was one because on her away message, she had some, like, lyrics that were Black Flag. Mm-hmm. You know, it was probably from Rise Above.
Probably.
And I asked about them. Also, credit where credit's due, because, like I said, 2002, I must have been 12, 13 years old. she was like heavily into the Ramones and like all of that shit too, and kind of like bands that you had heard of but hadn't listened to yet, you know what I mean? Hadn't really got, gave him a thorough listen, and she pushed me in. Which I'm not a big Ramones fan now, but I did like them a lot growing up.
I'm indifferent. Well, I'm not indifferent in the sense of like, I liked them. I've liked them the whole time. I like probably the Ramones the same amount now as I do. As I've always liked them. But
consistent.
I remember now. So I think at the time, the reason I got into Black Flag is because Dez was in the Misfits.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
I think that is, I can picture myself at about 12, 13 years old and knowing that this dude from this band called Black Flag is currently in the Misfits, and I feel like I went down the pipeline trying to, so I hyperfixate on shit all the time, and I can see myself doing that with Black Flag now. And but I do remember Rise Above and Black Coffee being the first two songs I ever heard. But Greg Ginn's guitar, that's what I was gonna say earlier, like that's
it's
what's awesome about
like jazz, dude.
Yeah, and he's what makes Black Flag sound like Black Flag. Like they've had a hundred fucking singers over the years, guys that recorded albums,
dude, the influence on
the, you know, Dez was on vocals and Henry was on vocals and
NoFX, Blink-182, that whole era of like guitar playing punk rock bands, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Pop punk, whatever you want to call it. You hear it, like that whole kind of, you know, wonky tweak note.
Yeah.
And he, you know, you got to think back then too. I was thinking about it a lot tonight. Is like, it, a lot of what you were hearing on old albums was the, it was him playing through his, like, in, like, ineptitude. Like, 'cause he wasn't a great guitar player yet.
Yeah.
But he's like hitting those same quote-unquote wrong notes tonight like he does on the fucking albums, you know what I mean? And adding
stuff
in. That's
a professional, yeah, absolutely.
And, I mean, dude, so
he's Black Flag, bro. Like, it does not matter. That's what I was saying. Like, he's 70. There's going to come a day where he's no longer with us. That's the day Black Flag really dies, bro, with
just,
Greg.
Not like, just is he Black Flag, but, dude, he influenced, like,
a lot of bands.
Everything that we think, like the Vans Warped Tour era of fucking punk rock was influenced by Black Flag, like Green Day and Blink 182, and even though they went more ska-ish, like Rancid and shit, but that whole era, you know,
even
Bad
Rancid.
Religion, Descendants.
Yeah, all those bands,
And I love them. God damn, such a great show. It was literally just 2.5 hours of Black Flag.
Yeah, they played
sick.
All
no
of
openers.
My War album, and they took like a 15-20 minute break, and then we come back in and they played all the hits, man. Nervous Breakdown, and they closed with Louie Louie, and it was just funny. It was killer, dude. I loved it, man. I thought it was great. I thought Mike sounded good. Like I
did wonder in my head, I was like, how are they gonna make a 20 minute album and probably 20 more minutes worth of songs last 2.5 hours? But it turns out that they've added guitar and bass solo, just all kinds of different elements into every song.
And that says a lot, too, to go through and do that. You know,
and it sounds good. It fit in, you know, where they put it. It's nice,
I can definitely,
dude.
I can not only just mark them off the list.
But they were actually good.
But they were good, man.
You see a lot of old
it,
punk bands, dude. I've heard, like, I'm going to shout out Meat Trade Zach, dude. He said that he got to see the Buzzcocks once, who I also really love, and said they sucked live as like an older punk band. So it was cool to see them and them not suck. Of course, he has, it's Greg Ginn and then three much younger dudes, but
yeah,
they're not that young. Mike V's not that young.
Mike's
you know?
Probably in his 50s.
Yeah. And he looks great for his age, dude.
Still up there, got it, man. He's definitely taking care of himself.
He's probably the most racist-looking guy on earth who's not racist.
He was super nice. So we got to meet everybody after the show.
Met Mike V, dude.
I walked up to Mike, and I was, like, filming a video of me, like, meeting Mike because the crowd was, like, pretty intense at the moment. Everybody was, like, fighting and shit. And he turned around, and he smiled, and then he told me to stop it to take a real picture with him. And I thought that was super cool because it was kind of funny. But he was like, yo, man, I wasn't ready. Like, we got to take a real picture. And I was like, fuck yeah. And then I looped back around and I had him sign my poster. And I felt like I looked like a dumbass because I didn't, like,
do all that at once.
And he looked at me again and he smiled. And I literally, while he was signing it, I told him, I was like, dude, when I was a kid, you were fucking everything. Like, I wanted to do shit you could do because I was like, you were like one of my favorite guys. So you're the reason I liked skateboarding.
Proved that skateboarding wasn't nerdy.
Yeah.
And like loser shit.
And he shook my hand so hard when I said that, bro. He was like, thank you. And like, I was such a moment.
I went in deep on him because I knew. I saw them fucking banana fingers. I was like, he's going to have a grip. So I went in deep on his hand. And he did, dude. He gripped the fuck out of my hand. I was like, if I went in fingers only on him, he would have crushed my hand. But he was so fucking cool. Everybody,
man, I loved him.
Greg Ginn was like grandpa,
Greg Ginn was like grandpa, bro. He gave me a fucking hug, dude. Can I get a picture too?
Hug, and he was like, no, I'd hate that. And smiled real big. I was like, this is just pawpaw, dude.
I told him, I was like, dude, I've been listening to you since I was like 13, and I've never got a chance to see you guys live. And I was like, this is such a big deal. And he turned around and he was so happy, bro. And was like, thanked me.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's fucking cool, dude.
I've seen lots of bands that I've loved that have not been great live.
Right.
We've gotten lucky, dude. It's rare to see. It's been a long time since I've seen a bad show.
It's nice getting spoiled on, like, meeting people and getting shit signed after shows and, like, fucking hanging. Like, that's cool, dude. That's how it should be, man.
Well, most people just don't think about it or they're not interested. But that, I mean, we've always done it.
Yeah. You know I did it one of the first, one of the first concerts I went to, like, out on my own. I think I was, like, 19, maybe. I took Andrew to, the Thompson House when we seen the Misfits play, and Jerry come out into the crowd after the show just like he did tonight, and I was so nervous, bro. I got a picture with him, but like, that was the first time I'd ever done that, and I always try, like, when I go to smaller shows now to, like, wait around and, like, try to do that shit, but tonight was different because I was a nervous fucking wreck. Like, meeting Mike V, just Black Flag aside, the skateboarder, like, made me want to puke, and then
that's
Greg Ginn giving
like
me a hug, knowing this is
big,
you know,
deals. Dude.
Yeah,
like Mike
Fuck
V,
me, bro,
for skateboarding, and also, dude, like, suck it up, Black Flag, like, nerds.
Hey, is this
he
a,
is Black a, Flag a, now?
Yeah, he is. He, and if you
rules.
Don't like it, dude, fuck you,
he
man.
Rules as
go
a
listen to fucking Keith and Flag with Chuck and the rest of those fucking dudes.
Yeah,
like,
dude, go listen.
Greg
to
fucking
Rollins.
Rules. He's
and Cyndi Lauper do fucking.
I do love Henry though.
Rise above.
Henry,
I do, yeah.
Henry
I
fucks
do.
And Dez fucks too.
People hate on him, but
but no. So like, I would. I think it's a fair comparison to say that like, Greg, to the guitar world and to punk rock, is what Mike V was to skateboarding.
For sure.
Because Mike V was not Tony Hawk. He was not that mainstream dude, but he was around
he was
just
a huge
enough.
Influence.
Exactly. He was around
he left
enough
this massive
to
massive mark.
Yep.
And he yep. was good.
And you could
he
say that Greg and Black Flag did that for punk.
For sure.
And I feel like I feel like that's a fair comparison. Mike V is the skateboarding with Greg and Black Flag are to punk music, man. And I think that's why it was such a big deal tonight to know that I'm meeting a 70-year-old man that founded a band that's still around today.
So you've seen
and a skateboarder
too,
that made
man.
Me want to fucking
it's
skate
like,
and do bonelesses and fuck do goofy
yeah.
shit. Like he
everything
made it cool.
Everything I listened
badass,
to
bro.
To this day,
yeah,
was like of his era mm-hmm. or influenced by him.
Yeah,
you know
yeah.
what I mean.
And meet a legend tonight. You know, that's very cool, dude.
It's just
that's a good birthday gift. I'm very happy about it.
I'm pretty stoked on it.
I'm jonesing still, dude.
I think back to like one of the first, so like the 2004 or 5 Warped Tour. I remember meeting like all of My Chemical Romance and like Fall Out Boy and mm-hmm. shit like that.
That's
and,
wild now to think about.
Yeah,
after
dude.
They blew the fuck up.
Yeah,
and, you know.
And
a
towards the end of Warped Tour, bands didn't really, like, hang out like that as much
right.
at the, like, festival part. But, yeah, we met, like, a few people, dude. I'm trying to think of who else. But the big one for me was I was at the first AFI show I went to at Bogart's in 2012, maybe. And I just heard some people being like, yeah, we're just going to go around back, tour bus back there right now. And I was like, oh, dude, let's go back here. And that's when I was like, oh, yeah, you really can just go. In venues like this, they're in the alley. They're
yeah,
like, nah.
Yeah.
And a lot of them do come
you met,
out,
you
too.
Met Davey, right?
Yeah, I've met.
Did you get a picture with
him? I didn't. He didn't do pictures.
He was just signing.
He was like, you can come up to, like, that. He had met the tour bus door, and he was like, standing, you know, mm-hmm. down in front of the bus.
Yeah.
And you could come up and he would do one autograph a person and, you know, like, shake your hand, say what's up. He wanted to meet everybody, but, I mean, to be fair.
Dude, Glenn's the same way, man.
He had a huge line.
If that gate wasn't up that night.
There was probably 200 out there.
We went to Danza. He would have done the same thing, man. You walk, he'll sign your shit, shake your hand,
yeah,
and thank, and that's it. You know, he doesn't do the pictures
half
and stuff,
the
man.
Well, dude, half the venue, I would say Bogart's holds what, probably 300-400.
It might be more than that, but yeah, probably.
I'd say at least 100 people were around back, and there was like 20 grouped around Jade, 20 grouped around Adam. Yeah. There was even a few people. I mean, Hunter was out there, few around him, and even Jade's brother, who is like a known punk and Warped Tour roadie, his name's Smith Puget. Shout out, dude.
Shout out, bro.
But he was like their roadie for a long time, and like, I used to keep up with their like tour diary blog back in like the early 2000s and shit, so, and he would like post on
this,
that.
This boy, I don't think people realize.
I'm like, massive AFI.
The boy is the
my
biggest
favorite band of all
AFI
time.
Fan.
Knowing the relatives know, yeah. and shit. But.
And he's really like, to be honest, man, he's the only fucking AFI fan I know. He's the only, like, I mean, I know people that are AFI fans.
I know
fans,
people
but
that like AFI.
Yeah, yeah. Like,
I know
people,
people
that like.
Think Miss Murder is cool, you know what I mean?
But you know how many times I've been there. He really is like the only real friend that I have that's an AFI fan.
I know, and Sam would be like the closest person I know that would, that was like into them enough to like know a lot of their shit.
Right.
More than, you know, your like your average listener for sure. She was big into them.
Hey man, and that's, but that's something cool too. Like
I've met them now 3 times.
I've seen them once. And I met Adam, and I had him sign my, yeah, my jack-o'-lantern tattoo.
Dude.
Yeah.
So this next show, we probably get won't get to meet him because it's a massive show. But they'll do another headlining B show.
Yeah, I'm gonna make a valiant effort.
We're going to meet them
because
all.
Because the Mars Volta is playing, right?
No, it's 30 Seconds to Mars. I just saw the Mars Volta.
He fell for it.
And they were sick. And they didn't.
So
they usually hang out after the show and do autographs and stuff too. But they send somebody out to be like, hey, sorry, they actually have the venue for the rest of the night.
Right. Because
it's one of their birthdays. They're doing a party.
Right.
So nobody's coming out. They like came and let us know. Otherwise, we would have met them too.
I think what we should do is leave halfway and go try to find AFI.
By the time 30 Seconds to Mars comes on, they'll probably play for an hour while AFI is back in the tour bus somewhere or something.
Yeah.
We probably...
We need to scope that out. We need to scope...
Do some
look at it. Look, yeah, we need to scope
hey,
that
out. Hey,
we right
reconned out fucking the Megacore Pavilion and found out where we needed to go.
Yeah.
We reconned... What's the fucking other venue we went to before that?
James Brady.
Yeah.
And we didn't, and that one sucked too, because we didn't get to do it. Like we
but
left
from
after
now
the show,
on, we know.
But
where
I knew,
to go.
Yeah, a dude told me, and like we seen the we seen like
we
where
need
they, the bus
I
and
was
shit.
Thinking about this.
I need to like save some. I can't be getting too much going on
we
just in
to.
Case.
Yeah, yeah. Save
you know
them.
What I mean? Because I'd like to get another one.
Well, see, my thought was I'd love to get their signatures as the filler around this.
Yeah,
and if I don't, I'll get them somewhere else and get another AFI tattoo and get. The Through Our Bleeding, We Are One around that.
What I was going to say, man, is what a cool, that's a cool, like, that's some things I miss about being younger is that as you get older and you experience more shit and you learn about more shit, you're always chasing that high of your first rabbit hole. And AFI really was one of those first rabbit holes I went down. Because I remember seeing the music video for Silver and Cold on MTV After Hours when I was, however old I was when that album came out.
2003, dude.
So I would have been 11.
Yeah.
And really, like, wasn't like anything I'd seen or heard before. And I was like, that's cool. But then as I got older, listening to them more, the next few years going down the rabbit hole and, like, discovering the punk shit. And all their older stuff, and then...
Bro, and diving into, like... Know. So all of Sing the Sorrow had, like...
Yeah.
It was, like, a themed album. The songs were out of order. There was this whole, like, mystery element. You could, like, put them in a different order, and it tells this story. There was a video that was released alongside it, like, special edition, clandestine. Yeah. And all these, like, secret fucking things you could dive into. Not even... not even mentioning the rest of their catalog.
Yeah.
You know, I got so deep into them, followed all their tour diaries, was on like message boards before social media.
Yeah.
You know, you had individual websites and message boards. I was,
and that's such a member like, of their thinking back, man. Like that's such a cool, like bands that have that mythos and have all that extra shit to it. I love that. And they're a lot like the Misfits in that element too. Like, and you can definitely tell the influence
in a
they
lot
had,
of ways,
you know,
yeah.
Besides just the cover and the songs and the Devil Lock, like
ever since I a lot was of their a kid, shit, you I know, wanted to be in a hardcore band.
Yeah. And flash forward probably 10 years later, I was about 21, 20. I went and got the, I always loved the pumpkin on the back of All Hallows EP. It was like in the little garden patch there, like by the where the they scanned it, like by the barcode, and the barcode covered it on a lot of the CDs, which kind of sucked. And I got that tattooed on me, and then flash forward a couple years later,
we go see them,
and we meet Adam, and I get Adam Carson, the drummer, to sign it, and I have it tattooed over the next day at some dude's house. And I just thought that was fucking punk rock. That was
yeah,
badass,
we're going to recon, dude.
We're
going to get back there.
We're going to recon for sure. It'd be cool.
Yeah. You know what, dude? Yeah, we got to. It's really going to, like, full circle my childhood into adulthood concert.
And, you know, the
life.
More I think about it, man, like, our lives, just the parallels, really,
man.
Of us, like, that's silly. It is
we're
silly.
We're AFI and the Misfits, we're, dude, but yeah. I'm older somehow.
Yeah, it's just it's weird that we've done a lot of, we've lived a similar life in a way. And
well,
like
we did grow
shit.
Up together, basically.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I know, though, but I mean, like, it's just odd that, I mean, there were times that we were not tight. There were times we were not, like, super close, or time we were just whatever. And then, but I remember we really got back into the shit and we were really together. And it was like, it's so weird. We both ended up with AFI tattoos. Now we're both going, we're in our 30s now.
Going
we're doing
to all our shows.
We're doing
together.
A podcast. Yeah, like,
we
I'm
used
not,
to not go to shows.
I'm
together.
Not saying that
this
I'm your
thing.
Best friend, but there's a part of
you
me
are.
That genuinely thinks that you might just be the best friend I ever
I am.
Had,
you're my best friend.
Like, and I got a close group of like.
I mean, I've got multiple best friends.
They know, yeah,
but
absolutely.
It's a dead tie.
Yeah, yeah. It's a dead tie, dude. Like, I'm not saying that I don't love my little cowboy Tim and Big Rowdy and all those guys. But, like, I mean, though, me and you, bro, we've been through a lot of shit, and our moms were always tight, and it's just, it's very cool. I think I have a cooler story with you than I do some of
my
other best friends, you know.
Mom too, dude.
And my mom always asks about Angie, and I say, Mom, you need to go see her. And she's like, oh, why not? Life just gets in. I'm like, no. One day y'all ain't going
to
have life no more, and you
I'll
really need
to
make time,
her, dude.
To...
She's going over to Carrollton all the time. They should get together. But, yeah, dude, it's been sick, and we used to, like, what was the first concert we went together to? It wasn't Tiger Army, was it? We went to the Brady Music Center for something.
First concert we ever went together was AFI.
Yeah, but, I mean, once we started going, like, to concerts all the time the last couple of years.
Danzig, I think. Warped Tour.
It was Warped Tour.
Warped Tour was
yeah,
the first.
It was
the Warped last Tour. Warped Tour was the first concert we went to together, aside from AFI.
But AFI really was like, the first one. That kicked it
but
off.
But that, yeah, it did, because we kept saying, like, we need to start doing more shows and shit.
But
and
once
we,
I got out of prison, stopped doing heroin all the time.
Yeah.
We kicked it
but
off.
But then COVID
with,
shut the world down.
It's been me,
shit,
you, and
know.
Anna for this whole saga.
Yeah.
We've gone to
Warped
quite
Tour
a few
and
shows
Danzig and Cancer
Slug. Twice. Cancer Slug, Tiger Army. She didn't go to Tiger Army.
Well, yeah, we took Tim. And you know, he still talks about that. He really liked that show, man.
Well,
he really liked
it. You should have invited him with the extra ticket. I think he'd have a good time.
Yeah, he had plans tonight. I thought about it, and they were doing something already. But I had the insurance. I mean, I got my
everybody
money back. It was
I
fine.
Was
but
busy, too. I was like, you're really missing out. But, you know, nobody I asked.
I was telling
really
him and during the actual show tonight, you know, I got. So, like, you could pay a little extra for this bullshit VIP section they had, but, like, they wasn't no closer
we were
than us, but
parallel with
like it was kind of pointless. But I paid the amount of money I spent for three tickets for the three of us. I got a fucking shirt and a poster and me a fucking draft beer, and for that amount I could get one ticket for myself just to go
to
a show at a fucking at a
show.
Stadium or whatever. Yeah. And I will always love these shows more than
fucking.
Well,
you bought the tickets. So, all together, we got, I got two shirts, autographed poster.
Yeah, and they signed our poster.
And the patch for like $60.
Yeah.
Not bad. The tickets were what, 25 each?
25 or 30, I think. Yeah, dude, and, for all three of our tickets with the fees and all the bullshit, it totaled at like $96. It was under $100 bucks for the three of us to go see Black Flag, and then I spent $30 on a shirt and a poster. And
Under Oath at that venue, met them. They did the VIP shit, but there wasn't a section. You just came like an hour early, mm-hmm. and you got to just like kick it with them. There was only 50 VIPs sold. I still got the signed little laminate thing somewhere. That's what they autographed, but...
Hell yeah.
Yeah, dude, that was cool. You got, you know, probably a good 5-10 minutes to bullshit with each individual dude.
Yeah.
And, yeah, man. It's been sick.
It has been. We're doing things.
Hell yeah.
Life's
man.
Cool.
Been
dude.
Having a great time.
I turned 32 this week. Mm. 2 days ago, in fact.
It's kind of your birthday episode. We always do a birthday episode.
Yeah. Happy birthday to me.
Happy birthday to the
I woke up. Guy, I got a funny story for you guys. It's not funny. It's horrific, but it's kind of funny.
Oh, yeah.
So I wake up Thursday. It's my birthday. Now, I'm off Thursday, Friday, but then I took Saturday, Sunday off, so I had me a nice four-day little birthday extravaganza because I had plans, especially, you know, this show tonight, and then last night I got to go to a sweet-ass toy store, spend some time with my bros. Like, it's been a very cool weekend.
Toy story.
It's been a toy story, yes. So, did I say toy? That I went to a toy story?
I
went
to a toy store. I went but to I said toy story.
Okay. So I woke up Thursday morning. I'm like, I'm 32. Cool. So I woke up. I was bullshitting with my parents. It's like 10 o'clock. And I go get a tattoo. And me and my friend are at the tattoo shop. And she's like, shout out, Megs. She says, hey, you know, I'm hungry. And I'm like, me too. She said, we should get some Dairy Queen. And
DQ, dude, glizzy and a blizzy, yeah. Hot dog and an ice cream.
So we sat down at the fucking at the Dairy Queen, and fucking my mom calls me, and she's like, "Where the fuck are you?" And I'm like, "Dude, I'm sitting here eating a fucking, I'm eating a blizzard, dude. It's sunny, 75 out. It's my birthday. I'm like, I'm having a great time." She's like, "There's a fucking tornado." And I'm like, "What do you mean by that?" And she's like, I could hear, like, she's upset. She's like, "There's a storm and a tornado."
It's a real life
tornado.
So,
our hometown, man, and the town beside us, and then
the town he lives in, and the both surrounding towns.
Yeah,
in both
a lot of damage. A lot of people lost a lot of their stuff. And
on the national news.
While it was funny, my mother's reaction and me. Because where I was at down the road, like I didn't even know any of this happened. Like I didn't see any of it.
He plumb avoided it.
But when I come to see him today,
saw the wreck.
I saw a man. There's one of the worst things you can ever see is people sitting outside, looking at piles of debris and garbage, and just knowing that is everything they owned or ever had. Like. It's fucking horrible, man. You know, my uncle, he lost his camper.
It was a lot of campers.
It's fucking crazy. People lost vehicles,
I think people's
homes,
secondaries,
like,
which is, thankfully, most of campers are heavily insured and shit. But there was like a good couple dozen homes. Like,
it makes me sad. It hurts my
feelings. It is sad.
Like,
and
I
let
really
me
hate that to see people fucking...
Now,
man,
let me give
just...
you guys the POV of somebody who...
Yeah, you
direct
tell them.
Interface with this tornado.
Right up in that shit.
So I was getting ready to drive to Carrollton, basically the path of the tornado down the Ohio River Valley. I get an alert on my phone, take shelter immediately. I thought it was the nuclear holocaust. Wasn't a fan. And so I'm like, I'm looking outside and it's clear. I'm like, it's probably up the hill some ways. It's probably no big deal. We live down in the valley. It's not typical for a tornado to hit down this way. Go to get in the truck to take off. Wife's calling me. She's like, hey, I've already sought shelter, and I'm hoping you'll do the same. I'm like, nah, I'm about to drive to Kentucky. I think it's going to be fine. She's like, no, it's literally about to hit. Long story short, I look up. I live like right by the river, like maybe, you know, 400 yards, 500 yards. Look over the river. I see the debris flying. I see the funnel cloud. It's still horizontal at this point. But it passes by, and at this point, have no clue that it ever actually touched down. I give it 15 minutes, maybe. Clear blue sky. Go to take off. I get on the bridge to Kentucky before I realize something's up, because I can see all the wreckage over in Milton, and then I have to pull over on the bridge because like several fire trucks and ambulances and EMTs went by me. So I stopped there. I got down into Milton. By the time I get down into there, and this is the area that suffered the most damage, everybody was like coming out from hiding, surveying the damage. It was really fucked up. Like every building had at least like a little roof damage, but like huge trees felled, campers thrown about. I mean, it was crazy. And yeah, I talked to my mom, who also lives by the river, like, you know, a half mile away from me. And she had sought shelter, but it was like right in front of her. There's a video. I posted it on my like threads, I think, because I'm banned on all other social media right now. But it's also in the Discord server of the tornado on the river. On the river, there's a barge like, you know, a few hundred yards away from it. It's right next to the bridge, and it's fucking crazy. Well, you saw that video, right?
Oh, yeah.
Of it on the, I mean, it was, somebody took it from up on top of the hill, and I've never seen a tornado on the river before. It was sucking up water from, like, dude, a league away. It was, like, insane. And then, okay, 2 days before that, before I had the devastation of wind, I nearly had the devastation of fire. I'm at work, had just come in from lunch break. It's like 8:30, 9 o'clock at night. Wife calls me freaking out. She's like, your fucking office is on fire. I rush home. Some like cheap LED light that I use when I film videos had like the button had overheated on it, and it had set a pile of papers on fire. Anna was in the shower, came running out, found the pile of papers and like just went downstairs and threw them in the sink and ran water on them. But the whole room was like filled with smoke. She didn't know what was going on. So she just ran out of the house and called the fire department. They came. Luckily, there was no other damage. I've got like fucking propane torches and weed smokers all over the place. Well, there's like five firemen in here. They were like giving me a talking to. Like, you really got to clean this place up. We don't think that any of these torches or anything caused it, but like if something else caused a fire and it had got this torch hot, that would have blown up, fucking caught this whole room on fire real quick. And so I did clean the area up and started
putting everything away.
They make
you feel like a fucking kid, bro. You just got in trouble, man.
But they were right. Like, it could have been a lot worse. We got really lucky. We got lucky with the tornado. Like, God bless. Unfortunate. Some people did not get lucky.
Yeah.
But it was literally, I could see it from my front porch, like, less than half a mile.
And you know, it really didn't set in until I got back to town, but I was thinking, like, you know, not knowing that that was going on because I wasn't in town, man. Like, if that would have hit, you know, if it wouldn't have went back over the river and just disappeared, like...
There's few structures that would have stood.
Yeah, yeah. Like, if that would have landed right there off the bridge by the house, man, like, there's a good chance my whole family's dead, man.
And you got a nice house, bro. And a basement. Like, you got a nice brick house. Like, probably would have been better off than some, but it would have tore all of downtown up.
Oh,
yeah. If it had hit downtown Madison, dude, or downtown Carrollton, either one. And then, like, a severe hailstorm about, what, 20, 30 miles down the road from me. At,
dude, destroyed Tim's truck, man.
It destroyed my sister's brand new car.
Yeah, ripped his. He's got one of those covers on his, bed. Looked like somebody took a straight razor to it and just sliced it up, broke his rear view mirrors out. Like,
did that with a guy at our work, and it was just windy up there. Ripped his bed cover off and like shredded it to pieces. But yeah, my sister's Civic, I'm not kidding, dude. Every square inch, and that's not an exaggeration.
No, I've seen the video. He's not exaggerating. It has a dent. The entire car is one dent.
So fucked.
Like,
and I feel bad for her. She worked really hard to get that car.
Oh,
she's
young. She's a good kid, man. Like, out here trying to do what she can, you know. And then a fucking hailstorm comes and fucks her car up. Like, that's horrible.
See it. I hate it for everybody, you know.
Yeah.
I saw several. I mean, a lot of people.
Yeah, my uncle, man.
There.
He lost his camper. And he stays in the camper a lot, so. I'm glad he wasn't there, obviously. Like, I mean, it could have been way fucking worse, but it's pretty fucking bad, yeah. If that makes sense. Like,
better a camper than your permanent home. No, yeah, but that still but sucks. Still, though,
like, he had just got that.
Like, I know several people with campers who aren't wealthy. They just, have a camper.
Yeah. And fun trips. All that was left is, like, the ramp for, like, where the toy hauler was.
Damn. Like, I saw somebody's, like, pontoon boat get thrown in a video. Yeah. I mean, it was crazy. I've seen a lot of inclement weather in my life. We both have. And there's been tornadoes nearby.
I think the worst one that I'd seen up until this one, which I didn't see this one, but when we had those straight line winds in the church by my house that ripped the steeple off into the road, that was fucking crazy.
That was, like, what, 2008 or 9?
Something like that.
I remember there was a hurricane going on the east coast. And it caused some sort of weird wind situation all the way out.
And these
here.
Straight line winds, like 70 to 90 miles an hour, come ripping through our hometown.
It was crazy because I went out walking in it. I lived down there on Mason Street at the time. And as soon as I walked out, it was like so eerie because it was super bright and sunny. But you looked up, and the clouds were moving faster than, like, I've ever seen them move.
Yeah, it looked like the world was spinning super fucking fast, dude, and it wasn't. You
and
know
then,
what I mean?
Like, all the trees were going nuts, and I, like, the way that I'm walking, just a huge, like, trunk falls down in the middle of the road, way out in front of me, like, 100 yards. I know I'm using a lot of yard-based measurements.
He's a big yard guy.
Let's switch it to meters, dude. I feel repetitive.
There's a
probably 150 meters.
Yeah. You couple know hundred I mean? Meters.
But I was like, oh, I'm going back inside.
Yeah.
But nothing like this. I've seen a tornado once before at my dad's house out in Henry County, but it was, again, it was a funnel cloud. It was still, like, horizontal. It touched down miles down the road, but we saw it before that.
I've seen one, and I'm glad that I stood and watched and because I haven't seen another one since. And
that's terrifying.
Like, once in a lifetime opportunity. That was over 10 years ago. I seen it when I was working at Subway. I seen one. I watched it through the drive-thru window.
Nothing will have you believing that God's mad at you quicker than experiencing a tornado.
Yo, that's what Tim said. He was like, I heard the alarm go off on my phone. He said, I walked out of work into the parking lot and I looked and there's nothing. And I'm like, this is stupid. He said, I go back in. He's like, 10 minutes later, I look down the river, dude. He's like, I see the wrath of God coming.
Yeah, dude.
He said lightning and fucking just, he said it was like this black wall
of
death just creeping down. It was fucking crazy. I honestly hate that I missed it in a sense. Like,
dude,
that
the way
cool
I watched
see,
it roll in.
I definitely didn't want the anxiety of fucking a
down the river. So. My street faces the power plant. So like a few miles down the river, I can see the smokestacks. And I was out in my truck. It's still debating on going, and I was watching the smokes. They were all blowing, like, up the hill, blowing north, and that's where all the black, like, wall, like, cloud was, up north. I was like, okay, it's not blowing this way. Everybody that was, like, out in the streets watching it was looking up that way. And then I'm watching the smokestacks, and I see the smokestacks are still blowing up the hill, but all the black clouds are now blowing down the hill. And then I see them, like, meet the smoke. And I notice that it's kind of spinning around each other. And I'm like, holy shit. And I start, like, looking up and down the river. And I notice that the spinning is already, like I said, directly straight in front of the house. It was fucking crazy. Wow. If you guys ever get the chance to experience a tornado without getting hurt.
Do it.
check them out, dude.
What a wild week, man.
It has been wild.
A cool birthday. It's been
crazy
cool,
birthday,
man. Crazy birthday weekend, dude.
Tornado and a punk rock show.
Yeah.
Dude.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty cool. Scored some sweet comics yesterday at that store, man.
Oh, yeah.
I got the reissue, the first issue of Wolverine.
Damn.
And it's like a holographic cover. I got Vampirella issue number 666.
Oh, hell
and
yeah.
Then I got 3 out of 4 American Psycho. Adaptation, the comic book adaptations.
Man, dude. I like Archie.
That was pretty cool. Yeah, you're a big Archie guy.
And Garfield.
Archie Bunker. That's
who
you
I like Archie. Would you stifle it? I like Archie.
But yeah, man, it's been a very... ooh, another cool thing I did this week. Have you ever smelt a decomposed pig head?
I've smelled decomposing bodies
before. I don't know if it's really decomposing. I really have to, like, confirm or deny on that, because it's kind of like,
or was it pickled or preserved?
It's like preserved, but it still smells like shit.
And formaldehyde,
probably. I would assume that. So Wednesday night when I got off work. You know, I got a friend that's a witch, man. She's a real witch. She's really into the shits. And she's got
check
a
the bookcase.
Boy. Yeah, she's got a nice altar, as she calls it, just full of.
I'm just getting to why you smelled it.
I'll get to that. Okay. Of just oddities. So I told her, I said, you know, tomorrow's my birthday. I said, I'm going to come over and hang out and we'll go eat. So we get back from eating and I'm sitting on the bed and she's like, hey, man, let's check out this stuff I got, which I've seen a lot of her shit anyways, like from the vials of blood to the jars with snakes and sheep eyes. And like, she's got a lot of cool shit, but she's got these two fucking pig heads. And I got a video I'll show you. It was funny, but she brought it over there and she was like, look at it. Like, how cute is this? And it was cute, I guess. And she's like,
pig skull from a guy.
She said, take a sniff, racist. Man. She said,
I'm serious.
She said, take a sniff. And I said, all right. And I went, and it, death, dude. It was so terrible. Bad. But
I was friends with a chick named Ashley up in Cincinnati who she was preserving like little mice and she had some bugs and shit all preserved in formaldehyde. And it stank. Yeah. And she was learning taxidermy. She was like, I don't know if she
Yeah,
ever
Taylor's
did.
Always had like weird fucking years, shit. But she had a squirrel in like this bucket that had a flower in it. It was like a flower pot.
Yeah. See, and I want a couple articulated
It's cool, dude.
Skeletons.
I love that shit, man.
I'd like
you know?
To get a bat skeleton, maybe a cat skull.
Yeah.
Some stuff like that. You know me. I like that kind of shit, too.
Yeah.
I'm into it. I like the witchcraftery shit.
Yeah, she's she got some cool shit. Man.
I wouldn't
she's...
smell a pig's head.
I shouldn't have at the time. Like at hindsight, like when she told me, like
you
hey,
shouldn't smell formaldehyde for sure because it's
I'm assuming
highly carcinogenic.
You know, I don't know
like,
what she does with her shit. She's gonna have to.
Times, it's like smoking 1,000 packs of cigarettes.
I told her, so you're gonna have to come on the show, man, and tell us about your weird shit sometime.
I'd be down, dude.
Cause she, you know. Long time listener, long time fan, but she does have some really cool shit.
For sure.
And she really is heavily on the witchcraft, man, and it would probably be cool to. Because I don't know what the fuck she keeps this shit in. I don't know what she.
That'd be dope.
I'm always like intrigued
well,
by
other ways
it, but
to
never.
Do it. There's
you know,
definitely like some people do like a brine solution.
And she got
like
a rabbit in the freezer.
Sort of situation.
She got a rabbit in the freezer. I see you want to cook it and eat it or what?
I used to have 4 feet off the same rabbit. But I only have 2 of them now. I don't know what happened to the other 2. I think my cats like got a hold of them.
And they could have, man. That's probably.
But yeah, I wouldn't whiff it. Hopefully, it wasn't formaldehyde, dude.
I am still alive, man.
I have smoked a blunt dipped in formaldehyde, and it got me so fucked up, dude. I was tore up. I don't recommend it.
Hey, man, that shit was Patsy Cline, dude. It had you walking after midnight. You know what I mean?
Hell yeah, dude. It's feeling Patsy fine, dude. Here's your mom, Chance Fancy. That's Reba McEntire.
Yeah, that's
Bobby you know
Gentry,
her.
Dude.
That's your cousin, dude. Reba?
Yeah.
Let me ask
Bobby
you,
Gentry
fan
is, too.
Or not, dude.
I really have a cousin named Bobby.
Kill Tony podcast.
What about him?
You like it? I can't fucking stand it.
I mean, I like Tony.
Plenty
when
of funny people on there.
I like Tony,
but I don't
when
like the format.
When Tony's talking about wrestling, I fuck with Tony because he knows his shit on wrestling and like it's good insight.
I guess.
But
dude.
Like the episodes, he was like he would come in with on Joe, and Joe would have wrestlers
with the
on
Undertaker.
There. Like that was cool, and Jake Roberts and all them. But other than that, man, Tony's kind
of. I think
whatever.
He sucks. I think a lot of other people on the show are funny, but the whole format, I'm not a fan of. There's been a couple. I asked because the guy that's been on there recently, Casey Rockets, I do think he's funny. As
yeah.
Funny. But none of the other people that have blown up from Kill Tony have ever. Even
I like
been
Kill Tony if it's got
to
people
me.
That I like.
I don't think I've ever watched a full episode either because it's so like annoying.
Like
to
if
me.
There's people on there that I enjoy, I'll watch it. But I don't.
Yeah, there's been
I'm
a lot of people I enjoy on
him.
There. But yeah, it's just one of those situations where. Just there's like a lot of cool people involved, so you see it peripherally.
Yeah.
But then, yeah, it's just, it's not, I can't ever sink into like a whole episode. There's tons of shit like that, though.
Yeah, I there's times I don't mind Tony at all, but then that show, I don't know, man. It's very hit or miss to me. Everybody's different, though. I don't, but I'm like you, though. There's so many cool people on there that it kind of.
See, you know, I've definitely found, like, you know, as far as the fucking podcast goes, there's a very specific sort of fucking, like, format that I like. And if it's got more than, like, three people, I'm usually not. It's usually not a good podcast.
Yeah, format. Three's a good number. Yeah. I don't think you should go past three.
I mean,
I'll do four depending on who the four people
are. Maybe three with
a
guest makes it four. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Fine,
but no, or one with two guests or two with
one
guest.
There's a bunch of shit going on, man. I got ADHD. I can't fucking deal with that.
And that's one, too, that you like have to watch on YouTube almost, like audio.
Yeah.
It's trash, you know?
Yeah.
And I kind of hate that all podcasts are like YouTube first now instead of like being podcast.
Yeah.
And then also having like a video element.
I agree.
Because we fought with the video element forever, and I decided it's not worth it. None of the podcasts that I actively listen to, like weekly, like at work and shit, have video.
Yeah.
And the ones that do are the shit that I'll play on like YouTube while I'm cleaning it.
I think that the filming element for us, if we were doing a show, would have been cool if we'd have had different angles that cut back and forth. You know?
If I get another good camera, we could do it now because I've got this room set up for filming.
Right. Like if you're going to edit the shit to where, you know, it pops around and kind of like Rogan and all them, like that would be fine. But
I could do
it. I don't
it.
Know, man. Our
we get another good camera.
Yeah.
But it'd only be for certain. I do so many like solo episodes now. Not so many. I haven't been doing them as often. But if we got back to like doing frequent episodes, I'd invest in the second camera and start doing it the way we wanted to do it the whole time.
We need to get another camera. We need to start filming shit. And
hell yeah, dude.
You know,
for sure. Been ready to film some stuff for a hot second now. I've also had my wiener pulled out
the whole show.
Yeah. You getting sleepy, buddy?
No, that coffee got me.
Did it get you together?
Up. I took a little nap on the way home, too, man. Lexington's a far drive. It's way far. Like, it looks simple on paper till you do it, and then you're like, fuck me, man. Like,
yeah, I've gone down there more often than I'd like in the last several months.
Yeah.
Gone to see her brother graduate. Gone to a couple shows down there. And it is a long-ass
It'll
drive
It'll take a toll
here.
On you, man.
It's a long drive going from Carrollton, you know what I mean? And then you add coming from over here to it.
Right.
And it just seems like forever.
Yeah.
I remember once, early on in having my license, I was like 16, me and Upton went to Florence. First time I drove up there on my own, and on the way home, I forgot to get back on 71. And we didn't notice till we got to Lexington. And then we got off. Got a map, a paper map at a gas station because there was no, like, bullshit. The MapQuest might have been around at the time, but we didn't have it. You would have had to got on a PC and printed it out.
Right.
You know what I mean? So we got a paper map that somebody drew directions on that was the back way back that we just took. And we followed the map and took it. And it took fucking forever, dude.
Yeah.
I remember literally leaving Florence because it was, like, a Saturday. We left at like 6 o'clock because there was like, I'm pretty positive, a party somewhere that night, Matt Derman's or John Hoskins.
Probably.
And we missed it because we didn't get back to like fucking midnight because we got lost in Lexington and stopped to eat. I used to get lost with his dumbass all the time. One time we drove to a field trip that we were banned from going on. Well, I was banned from going on to the fucking Civil War reenactment at Perryville Battlefield. And then we left because they yelled at us and we got lost in the woods. Didn't get back to our car till after dark. The field trip was gone.
You had a fucking Civil War reenactment. Reminds me of the episode of Viva La Bam where they do the Civil War reenactment.
They're in the golf cart.
Fucking shitting all over it the whole time, bro. He like shows up in the fucking the golf cart. He's like, we're from the future. Like, oh, so good.
You can't fucking do that, man. Come on, man.
Oh, so good, dude. Shooting that cannonball through the fucking treehouse.
That shit was awesome.
What I say to you during the Black Flag show, it was like quiet for like 2 seconds, like in between the songs, and I looked over at Jordan, and I was like, he was like saying he should like scream obscene shit, and I said, you should say, hey Mike, what's your thoughts on Bam Margera's current health situation?
Oh, yeah.
That was good.
No,
was
I wasn't yelling obscene shit. I was yelling, you know, when people were cheering shit, I was like, going, Alu Akbar, like that. It's not obscene. You can yell at not everybody who, I mean, it's a common phrase in Islam. I think it means like God is the greatest or God is great or something like that. They just happen to yell it when they suicide bomb, but they say it all the time.
Yeah, more.
It's like yelling, hell yeah, this is awesome when you suicide bomb somebody, dude. Or like, Jesus is fucking awesome.
Yeah. I'm cultured. I know what they would say.
Well, this is for the listeners, dude. For the listeners.
Just for you guys.
Who are probably more cultured than we
There's
are.
There's 20 dude. People out there like, man, why is this fucking dude saying this shit?
Well, dude, not everybody speaks whatever language that is. Fucking or Arabic. Yeah. I'm assuming. All right.
I guess, yeah.
You clap cultured. With one hand. A little quiet.
Cute that dude, that the tattoos really fucked my shit up, man. I think they like...
Bro,
killed me. My arm hurts so bad.
Two of the so I'm I followed James Marandino on Facebook, the dude who did SLC Punk.
Yeah,
and he just this clothes. He was people were asking him if they could get a hold of the jacket that Matthew Lillard was wearing in that. So this like clothing company that's still around that did like the costuming for the movie, just like did a line re-releasing that like. It's like a fucking bomber jacket with like the rainbow down it. Yeah. And then they also did Heroin Bob's white track jacket with the Anarchy sign on it.
Oh, dude.
But they're like $100 each. I really kind of, I want the bomber jacket, but also the track jacket is sick as fuck.
Dude, rest in peace, Heroin Bob. That's what gets me that every was, time, dude.
Dude, genuinely the saddest death in cinema. And
it's up
Matthew
there.
Lillard, I mean, he's got chops. He's been in a lot of great shit. He deserved an Oscar for that scene.
Yeah.
Dude. He's like, I wasn't ready, man. Yeah. I wasn't ready. Yeah. Only posers die.
That's so good, dude. Yeah.
That's what I would say if I was like fighting the demon of loss, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, if something ever happens to me, buddy, I hope you yell at my corpse and say only posers die.
I'm gonna
say it to you if you die.
That's gonna be on your headstone.
He was a fucking poser. Yo, I just said that too the other night when we went to that comic book store. We're on the way home, and I said something about like
somebody being
the worst. Yeah, the worst thing you could have been called growing up was a poser.
Man. Oh yeah, dude, that shit cut
deep, bro.
It wasn't often because
and man, you know, and you know what's funny, dude?
We're calling the kids posers.
I don't want to sound
called a poser by older kids.
I don't want to sound like King Piss of Shit Mountain, but I turned out way cooler and more badass than any motherfucker that ever called me a poser, dude.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I don't really give a shit now. But well, yeah, you're in like middle school.
A lot of people didn't
like,
really.
Hell yeah, dude.
A lot of people didn't stay in the game. I look at a lot of these. People who post like growing up emo, growing up alternative, and it's like, yeah, but did you stay in the thick of it?
Yeah,
are you still hard?
Because you
you're not hardcore
are
unless you live.
Are you
hardcore.
Still wearing chick pants, bro? Are you still fucking? Do you still have a pair of slip-on Vans? Like,
are you still going to shows?
Yeah,
dude?
Even though your back hurts,
yeah,
you still fucking.
I'll stand there for 2 hours with back pain just radiating.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I'll
there's people
two-step.
That you know. Which, granted, I never, I mean, I know everybody has an emo phase, but, like, I never really...
It wasn't a phase for me, dude. But it was only...
But I was
emo
never, like,
was only
was...
part of the larger phase for me.
Right.
But it was definitely, like, a thing. I don't want to say I brought it around.
Yeah.
But I'm definitely gonna... I was an early adopter when it became a kind of a style, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I look at a lot of people who say they were part of that phase that I know for a fact were not. They were just like anime kids that listened to like Blood on the Dance Floor and shit. It's like, calm down. You were fine, dude. I'm not saying you weren't a cool kid, nice guy, but you weren't emo.
No,
you didn't listen to like.
I listened to so many different genres of music that I never really could base my style or anything off of, you know. Because I wore, like, I was so big into skateboarding and shit that kind of carried over into high school and then, like...
It all carries back to that and punk rock.
Like, when I really started, like, trying to identify and have a style, like, I really did go with, like, that 80s skateboarder, like, the flannels and the flat bill hats and shit, and like I really
cholo look,
I really had that suicidal tendencies vibe. But like when I really figured out what I wanted to be and like what I was me, was more of that fucking goth rockabilly, like, you know, I like the button downs and the dress shoes and shit, and I like a lot of tight black jeans and fucking, you know, I got the sideburns, the chops, like that. I dress now how I always wanted to dress, and I do think I have a certain style. Like, I like.
I've muted down, if anything. I used to wear a lot louder shit.
You have a very bland style that is a very good style. It's a very cool style. You know what I mean?
I just keep it all black now. It's the best I can do. You know what I mean? Yeah. Who am I to be?
I can't get rid of band and graphic tees to save my life.
You know, I'm a very big plain tee guy, but that's about, you know.
I really just like a motherfucker to know
I've been
what I'm into.
Buying more band tees. You know what
I
mean?
Like, I like to wear shit, especially if it's got something wild on it or something mildly offensive, like, or a band that I like that's got a wild ass look. Like, I like.
I just, you know, I like a shirt that fits well.
What I really like is I like to have me a nice pair of like dark black skinnies.
Hell yeah!
And then my one of like a pair of my dress shoes, the loafers or like the bolo, like the dance shoes, whatever. And then a fucking band tee.
Hell yeah.
So it says I'm dressed nice, but I'm here to party.
I'm here
too.
To fuck like, in the ass.
Yeah, like that's cool. That's a cool vibe, dude. That shit fucks. That shoots rope, them, dude. You know what I mean?
I used to have a fuck ton of band tees. I was a big band tee guy, but they've all been like taken by like ex girlfriends and just left them places, buddies' houses and shit. But I've been recollecting. I don't wear them much, mainly because I wear like. 4 days out of the week, I'm just wearing a plain shirt to work that I can
I also ruin, like being you know? In my 30s still wearing wrestling shirts. I think that's cool. I think that's a testament. I like that.
It's cool now, though, dude.
Yeah.
It is, but
it's fun to
do
it.
A dude in his 30s into wrestling now is a lot different than a dude who in his 30s who was into wrestling like 20 years ago.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's crazy that we're in our 30s.
We keep saying it like it's, but it's true, man.
I remember like, being 14, dude, like it was yesterday, and being like, people that are 30 are knocking on death's door, dude.
Yeah, and now here we are knocking on death's door, dude.
Aside from these, like, recent stomach pains I've been having, I feel pretty good, though.
I don't feel any worse than I have.
I feel like an old bitch. I feel like
I really think if I quit smoking and maybe change the diet a little bit, man, I'd probably be just fine. Honestly.
That's where I'm at. I'm ready to start doing more healthy shit so
yeah,
that
I
can
skateboard
do shit
on
like
the way,
this.
Man. I'm going to start skating and shit. Like, I'd really like to live a little longer, man.
Getting
I'd like
good
to
good enough shape to enjoy going to shows.
I would like to live to at least be 70. I'd like to be Greg.
I'm thinking 70, dude. 70 or 80 even. Yeah. I used to think, dude, 50 will do it. But now I'm like, life is fucking all right, dude.
Yeah.
I mean, it's if the world doesn't. That's what's pissing me off. I'm like, dude, I'm finally getting it together. I got a grip on this life shit. I'm having a good time. Now we got dumb presidents running for president. Everybody in political office sucks. Wars are happening. Climate change. I'm like, dude, if I finally get a good life going and then somebody else fucks
I mean,
it up,
and look,
I'm going
to
be mad,
and hear me out, man.
I'm
all right, I don't want to get too fucking reckless. I don't want to get too wild. But, like, let me just say this. I'm going to say my piece on it. Because it is 2024, and it is election year, man. And I just think, like, think of all the cool shit as humans that we've done from fucking splitting an atom, going to the fucking moon, sending a rover through fucking space.
Quantum computers, dude.
Yeah, learning how to fly, you know, what the Orville Redenbacher boys did.
Yeah, dude.
Making great music, doing all these things.
Leonardo da Vinci to Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah, the paintings, the ships sinking and the icebergs. Think of all of the amazing things, all of the intelligence it takes
to all the times
things.
People have loved each other beautifully and kindly.
Look at Woodstock, not 99. Think of all these cool things.
Fuck
all right,
dude.
Now I'm going to put you in the driver's seat here, pal. We're going Herbie 2 Fully Loaded. I'm going to give you two people that could run our country.
Okay.
One is going to be Joe Biden, and one is going to be Donald Trump. Now, if you can't set back...
Two people that have already failed at running the country. They've both done it, and they both suck.
Yeah, but I mean, that's... That's my tie in here. Okay, so now all the cool things we've done, all the great things we've done as humans, the entire civilization, race, everything. How is it that this is where we're at now, where Joe Biden and Donald Trump are the two guys that we're going to pick from?
We're going to throw it away for these fucking...
Yeah, we're going to throw every...
The
like
last two...
Out of all the hills
the
to
bar,
die for,
dude.
Out of all the hills to die on.
This is how I see it. It's 4 a.m.
Yeah.
You're at the bar, last two barnacle-infested scallywags hanging on by the edge, 17 vodka cranberries deep, didn't pay for not a one of them.
Yeah.
You're going to go out and fucking put your life on the line for that?
Yeah.
For that fucking bottom of the barrel
My man Joe is 89,000 years old.
But people
old.
Are willing to die for Donald Trump.
Probably,
and for Joe Biden,
he probably has dementia. Donald Trump is this overweight Cheeto.
They're both being kept alive by drugs.
I just don't get it. I don't understand.
Pumps,
like, dude, like...
Electronics.
Cool. I get why certain people like Trump, and I get why certain people feel like they have to like Biden because they hate Trump. I get the divide here. I understand all of it.
Yes.
I'm not stupid. I don't want to be here. I don't want... Either I don't want to deal with any of it. This is the kind of shit that makes me, as a red-blooded American, not want to vote.
Yeah,
this is the shit that makes me like...
We can do better, and you know, everybody's acting up.
And you know, you got Biden out here doing the State of the Union. He's like, well, you know, Roe v. Wade's going to be the law of the land. We're going to do all this stuff. And I'm like, buddy, when you come into office, Roe v. Wade was the fucking law of the land. And you've been here 4 years, and now Roe v. Wade's not the law of the land.
I think like 1,000 Palestinian children have died every day since October.
Yeah.
And they're just...
Yeah. And
I
just...
call for a ceasefire.
I know
how much...
Not that
Trump would, but goddamn,
you know,
dude.
I know how much... And who knows, man. That's the kind of... Like, that's the shit that pisses me off is, like, say Trump gets in and does call for a fucking ceasefire. Then all these people on his side, they're going to be like, look at this guy. How could you all hate him, bro? Look what he did. You all been bitching about a ceasefire over there.
I'll give him credit where credit's due, but it's just a ploy, dude.
Yeah, it's a ploy, and like, don't give us something good just out of spite so you can go do 100 horrible fucking things. Cool, a ceasefire, yeah, and then he starts slowly dismantling and stripping away every social fucking right that we have.
Yeah.
I don't like it. I don't like him. I don't like Joe.
I don't like any of them.
I hate all of it. And you know, it's a shame because I do love the country. I do love being here. I got no quarrels with, you know, the people's great
here.
Yeah, and I just hate that this is where we're at.
I think it's time
for a change, buddy.
That we move past having countries.
Yeah, and we might as well do one world government, bro.
Well, I think, you know.
I think we should all have a chip in our ass.
I think a syndicate
I'm
of
kidding
autonomous
I'm kidding.
States.
But yes, we
that
should
form
yeah,
a global coalition of which no state can be denied entry without a proper and just cause.
Yeah.
And, you know, we move forward. Here's the thing, dude. It's most likely the only piece of media that is actually predictive programming is probably Star Trek, which means if it's true, we're a few years away from going into World War III. But don't worry, because World War III is the turning point where humanity realizes, damn, all that religion and racism and homophobia shit was dumb. Let's all work together and we'll go to the stars and cure cancer and do all
Wouldn't
that shit.
Wouldn't that be cool, man? Why can't we? I just don't get
Maybe,
it.
Maybe, dude. Here's hoping.
You know, I don't understand.
We're going to rise above, dude.
We're going to rise above, man.
We're going to rise above. We love y'all.
Louie, we gotta go.
We gotta go now.
I said, oh.